Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Staying at home in your pajamas, shopping from the comfort of your computer can be so much easier in many ways, unless you have to do a return because it didn't fit. But there is a trade-off. With all that online shopping and all that credit card usage, there is an increase in exposure to cybercrimes, right? And other various online scams and all that. So how do you stay safe when you're shopping on the internet? Larry Zelvin is the head of the financial crimes unit at BMO Financial Group, and he joins us now with some of his tips. Hello, Larry.
Hello, Bruce.
I read that as he's head of financial crimes, and I thought, probably a much more interesting job than the job you hold, but not the job you hold.
Yeah, no, Bruce. And honestly, it'd probably be a lot more profitable, but the risks yeah. are far greater. So I'm going to stick with this gig, I think.
Stick with fighting the crimes. I think that's a good idea. What would you say makes someone a good target for a cyber crime?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Bruce, there's a couple of things. Targets are usually people or organizations that present the greatest opportunity. And by that, I mean that they don't present a lot of friction. So if you are not updating your phone or your iPad or your desktop device, right, as you see those every now and again, you have these really annoying things saying, you know, your software is out of date or your applications are out of date, that puts you at greater risk. One of the other things that puts you really at risk is by answering emails or phone calls from groups or individuals you don't know. A lot of folks get taken because they are targeted. We call this social profiling. So in some cases, it's specific. In some cases, it's more general. They may have picked up your name because you were shopping in certain areas and they've compromised that organization and they have your email and phone and they're contacting you, say, hey, you know, you're our customer and we have this great value and this great opportunity. You know, we'd like you to, you know, give us your name, username and password, and we can help you, you know, access your website and do this great shopping deal at much lower price. Or if something's out of stock, we'll get it to you faster, or they'll get you on the phone and convince you. So, you know, there's a lot of ways they can reach out to you, but ultimately it is really about their ability to trick you, and they can get your name in many, many different ways. And so we're all being targeted.
What is one example of a type of fraud that is common now that wouldn't have been even a year or two ago? So it may not have the same volume as the same old, you know, phishing and the gift cards and all that, but we've talked about many of those for a long period of time. What's new? What have we talked less about?
So one of the new ones is happening actually with Zelle, an online payment transfer. And this is not a Zelle fault in any way, shape or form. It's impacting a lot of companies, but this one has made the news. So what is happening is a fraudster will call pretending to be the customer and said, hey, I've forgotten my my password and can you resend it to me? And then what they'll do is they'll say, look, we'll send you a one-time password to your phone. Put that in, you know, the website and you can change your password from there. They go, great, thank you so much. They will now call that customer, that individual they're targeting, and go, hi, I am from, in this case, Zelle. We just sent you a one-time password. Could you please read it back to us because we're having a problem with your account? So unfortunately, people will pass that to the fraudster. They'll use the one-time password. They'll change the password. The customer hangs up, and now the fraudster has access to your account, and now they're off stealing your money.
You got a whole bunch of tips. One is limit online shopping to well-known and reliable retailers. What's, you know, like that could not sound more anti-small business. Come on.
The last thing I want to come across is anti-small or medium business, because there's nothing further from the truth. But what I would say is, look, if you're going to go to a small or medium-sized business, particularly if you're going to use their website, I'd encourage you to do some homework. You can use the Better Business Bureau. You can Google those sites. You can use social media and see if anybody's complaining, seeing if there are any fraud alerts or if there are any imposter alerts. you've got to look at the website's URL, that www, right, and make sure it makes sense. And then, so, you know, do some homework, because regret is one of the worst human emotions. So if you do your homework and you really are, you know, certain that these folks are reliable and they have what you want and need, by all means, proceed. But if there's any doubt, don't.
Tip number three for you. So two is, you know, question unbelievably good deals. Got it. Tip three is avoid public Wi-Fi. How realistic do you really think that is?
Oh, it is incredibly realistic. And it's particularly realistic around coffee shops, around hotels.
I don't mean realistic that people can find public Wi-Fi. It is so common. I mean realistic that people will prevent themselves from hopping on Wi-Fi instead of churning through their data.
No, look, I've had this conversation with my own children, right? And because they're like, you know what? I go on public Wi-Fi and it's not necessarily about the cost. It's more about the speed, right?
Right.
But the problem is that fraudsters will set up their own hotspot, their own Wi-Fi. And, you know, let's say I'm going to just make a generic name so I don't get in trouble with anybody. But let's say I'm at Coffee Shop X. And coffee shop.
That was very creative. I think we should start a coffee shop named X.
Yeah, no, it's also protects me from legal liability.
True.
And as long as there isn't a coffee shop X. But at the end of the day, you'll create a Wi-Fi that says, you know, coffee X1. And look, you'll go, great, I got great Wi-Fi signal. It's like through the roof. I'm going to use that one. But you're actually connecting through a fraudster's laptop or one of their electronic devices. So everything you're doing, to include your username, your password, is all going through their computer, being logged, and they've captured it. And it's really sad how many dozens, if not hundreds of people they can capture in a matter of hours by being a Wi-Fi site that is not legitimate.
Use mobile payment apps is another tip there. What do you mean by that? What's an example of that?
Well, you've got a number of, so example is you have Zelle, you have a couple of others out there.
Apple Pay, is that?
Exactly. Apple Pay is great. They have great security controls. But again, you've got to be careful, because I would go with the ones that are really reliable, because there are others out there that are pretending to be mobile payment apps. And again, they are fraud. They're actually fraudsters that are trying to move your money, and they'll give you better deals. But right now, mobile payment apps like Apple Pay give you great security. Shopify or some of the others that I would also recommend. Mm.
Your last tip, be sure to check your bank statements regularly. This one, I know it's mom and apple pie. I know it's equivalent to drink 8 glasses of water every day, but I probably catch something every 3 months on my bank statements.
Wow.
I do. Yeah. Including I had 2 subscriptions to Spotify, one which was being some person was very grateful that I hadn't noticed for, by the way, I didn't notice for a year that I had been paying a fraudster for Spotify. They were somewhere in Scandinavia.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's not uncommon. I'll tell you, Bruce, I mean, a lot of this stuff we can capture due to our security investments, but they're not perfect and never will be. A lot of the times our customers are the first ones to report it to us. And, you know, the faster folks can do that, the faster we can react, and hopefully the faster we can recover your money. What's really becomes more problematic is as you find out a week, 2 weeks, or a month after, it's been moved so many times, we couldn't find it even if we tried. So if you check your accounts regularly, and I will tell you that when it comes to using my credit card, my debit card, I actually get an alert on my phone. Especially if it crosses certain thresholds of like $500 or whatever I have it set on, I don't even recall. But having those alerts can make the difference between having a really bad fraud day and not.
Larry, I appreciate your time.
Bruce, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners, and welcome the opportunity to engage with you all again.
Larry Zelvin is the head of the Financial Crimes Unit at BMO Financial Group. And here's my 2 cents. If you are someone who has seniors in your life, it could be parents, aunts, uncles, this is not to say that they aren't fully, fully with it. But when Larry was talking about demographics, that is a particularly ripe group of people, because they don't necessarily have their software updated. They're not necessarily on point on the scams du jour. So be kind, reach out, work it into the conversation, and that will be your contribution to the universe.